Welcome, welcome. This is Juma and my co-host, Dr. Sophia Lin, and we are Leaf Style, the intersection of education, culture, and cannabis. And today we have a really special guest. Introduce them, Dr. Lin.
No problem. It's my pleasure to introduce our newest reality television star, musician, father, and cannabis advocate. Welcome to the show, Brandon Gomes.
What's up, everybody? Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys for having me today. I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to talk about the reality of cannabis. So let's get into the reality right from the top. How did your relationship with cannabis begin?
My relationship with cannabis began, you know, just being transparent, began at an early age. I was always, I guess, just interested. You know, growing up, I was curious. I was curious just seeing, you know, I'd see, like, the smell, you know, just in, when I'd go out, like, either different people that were older than me. And then I just was interested in it, curious, you know. And at that time, everyone was, oh, don't do that. That's a horrible thing. Boom, boom, boom. And I think that almost led to be wanting to try it more. but I began at an early age, and I say I just was introduced to it, you know, high school, and have been using ever since. I just began a passion over it just because of everything around it. I just love the plant. I built a passion for it. Early age.
We love that. We love how you've gone from recreational use to now transitioning into your advocacy work and becoming a medicinal user and really understanding the power of the plant. Tell us about that
Absolutely.
Journey a little bit.
Yeah. So like I was saying, you know, obviously when I was in you know, younger, and it wasn't medicinal in Florida yet. I don't think it became medicinal in Florida until several years ago, but,
2016.
Mm-hmm. 2016, exactly. I remember going to a True Leaf, and I was almost like amazed. I was like, wow, I could go in here and I could get, you know, it was wax and oil and concentrates at the time. But just going from, you know, using the plant, using it recreational, and then knowing that I myself have a platform, I have a name, and there's a way to do it. It's just a couple extra steps. You got to figure out how to do it and do it legally. And I really wanted to do that. You know, I wanted to show people that, you know, there's a way that you can do it. And I got into it, True Leaf, and I met a doctor, Dr. Barry Gordon, Compassionate Cannabis. And he, you know, we talked, and I got my license to go buy it legally. And from that point on, I just been really trying to focus on the medicinal use of it, showing people the benefits in it, showing people that, you know, me as a platform, I can use it and I can still go get my work done, and I'm not just lazy, like the stigma around it. So that was sort of a little bit about it. I could talk all day.
But are you born and raised in Florida?
I'm born and raised in Florida. I'm a Siesta Key native, born and raised in Sarasota, Florida. Yeah.
Wow. So you're really a native of the show. From the city of the Siesta Key show, you're actually from that area.
Yeah. We're thinking about that.
Yes, no. So I was born and raised in Sarasota, Siesta Key. And when the show came around, I lived in New York for 2.5 years. When I was 17, 18, I moved to New York for 2 years to pursue modeling, acting, and music. And when I moved back, the show, one of my friends, they were like developing it and they were putting the pilot together. And I moved back and they just reached out to me and were like, hey, you want to, you know, come to a dinner with us and see what possibly we could do, you know, because we were friends. And, it just worked out like that. I just, next thing you know, I met the producers through E1 and MTV, and they loved me. We loved them. I was friends with everybody that was already, you know, in the works of being on the show. And it just happened really naturally.
Out of an organic, relationship for sure. For definitely.
Exactly.
So they've tapped into your age range in Siesta Key, because there's a lot of college students, and it's really like a hangout area. So they've really tapped into that culture down there, because you can't find that everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. There is like a lot of, you know, college students and people of my age. However, Siesta Key, Sarasota, is most of the Southwest Florida area is like a retirement place. There's a lot of people here that come to retire, but then there still is, you know, people like in my age range that are here. So it really gave people the age range here, the demographic, something to look up to, you know?
Right.
There's kids here, same age on a TV show that live in the same town. You might see them at the gym. You might see them at the ice cream store or whatever, you know? So it's cool.
What season is this for you on Siesta Key?
It's season 4. So we're currently filming right now for season 4, and the winter episodes will probably come here the end of the year.
Great.
Now, do they let you use cannabis on the show?
So they don't, as far as like, you know, I can't show up to a set and just be using cannabis openly and everywhere.
But even though you're a card holder, like regardless.
Since I have my card, you know, there's ways around it where I try to just be a pleasure to work with, and I try not to get too comfortable in every situation. Even though I have my card and I'm a big activist of the plant and I want to push that, I definitely use, it's reality TV, so it's stressful. Right. I definitely enjoy using so I can stay calm through all of the, you know, the high stress moments.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. It's
let's talk about that a little bit. Just as being on a reality television show and sort of life in a fishbowl, your real life, as you told us, you're actually from this area, Siesta Key. So having your real life displayed on television, talk to us a little bit about any pressures or potential anxiety you may feel being in that fishbowl.
Yeah, so being on, you know, TV, putting your whole life, your personal life, all out to the public, constantly filming, constantly having people that watch the show judge you based on events that happen on TV or you know, the atmosphere around the TV show. It's a blessing at the end of the day. I'm very happy to be in position of where I'm at, but it comes with drama, it comes with pressure, it comes with stress, it comes with public humility. So with the anxiety, with I guess always filming and always having the pressure of, you know, and that anything that happens at any moment might make it to the TV, that's where, you know, I like to stay balanced. I don't like to stay too high stress. That's why I use cannabis. That's why cannabis keeps me calm to not care about some of the things and some of the pressures that are involved with being on TV, are involved with being in the music industry and stuff like that. So it really keeps me level. It keeps me balanced. And I try to make sure that no matter what, like I said, I'm always a pleasure to work with. I show up, I do my job. I don't let too much of the pressure get to me to stop doing what I'm supposed to do and realizing what I'm here for, my mission, my vision, and cannabis helps out with all, like, threading all of that together.
I love that. Tell me a little bit about the synergy between your music and cannabis. I realized you just dropped on Chop Shop with Skate about a week ago, so that video is fire.
Yes.
And you see a lot of your attitude, a lot of your fashion in there. Like, tell us a little bit about that synergy.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, first of all, I appreciate you for listening to the song.
Shouting
it out, Chop Shop featuring Skate out on all platforms. With music, right? So with music, sometimes I'll be in the studio for 12 hours. You know, I'll come in the studio and it'll be bright as day out. And when I leave, the sun will be down and you won't even realize it. So cannabis just, I feel like when I'm in a long, when I'm sitting down, because a lot of time, like I have the a studio right behind me, like I'll just be trying to make a beat, and the synergy between cannabis, at least with me, I can only speak with me personally, the synergy between cannabis and music for me, it goes hand in hand, just for the fact that I'm always sitting down, I'm doing sometimes tedious work trying to learn how to make a beat, and when I'm using cannabis, it takes that time away of I'm sitting here for 7 hours, it just flies by and I learn so much. And as like cannabis to me, it always got me through anything that I was going through. It got me to just keep going, you know, keep going, keep doing it. Don't worry about the current situation or why you can't figure something out right now. Just keep going and learning. And it's really helped me out with everything creatively. You know, when I put videos together, I just sit back and I try to be still, and I'll smoke and just and plot on how I want the video to look or how I want the music to sound. Right. There's a lot of different ways that it helps me.
And music,
I love how you speak to how it unlocks the creativity in you, but also the productiveness of you. Because a lot of people have that stigma that when they consume, it's going to make them less productive. And you really talk about how it pushes you through your journey and helps you to finalize the project and really see it through rather than it leaving you still, you know? So that's really key for everybody to know. Juma, jump right in.
I wanted to just piggyback on that. I mean, you mentioned that you were going to speak for yourself around music and the synergy with cannabis, but clearly, almost beyond anecdotal evidence, there's clearly incredible synergy with music and cannabis and creativity. But I thought it was interesting about the productivity as well, because oftentimes the narrative is people are lazy and they're not productive. Clearly, you're someone that has your hands in many things. So talk a little bit about how cannabis is able to keep you sort of focused and productive. And now we will talk about being a new father.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cannabis. So there's always been the stigma in the industry, right? There's always been the stigma around marijuana that, you know, if you use it, you're going to become less productive. If you use it, you're going to, your physical hygiene, your image is all going to go down. You know, like you'll stop caring about things. That's always been a stigma that, and growing up, I mean, just to be completely honest, growing up, you know, like my mom would tell me, you know, like if you keep using cannabis, like this could probably happen. A lot of people in my family, a lot of older family members, and not calling out my family, but older people that I look up to would tell me that a lot. And it would sort of get me upset because I'd be like, no, man, like I'm going hard. Like, you don't understand. Right. I'm up all night till 9 a.m. literally just making music. And it's hard to explain that, but I can only speak for me because I feel like it comes down to who you are. You know, it doesn't matter if you use the plant, it comes down to who you are, what you stand for, what you want to do in life. And I've been using for a long time. I've smoked for a long time and it keeps me productive because it puts me in a state of, like I get real conscious about where I want to go. And it just keeps me in that higher conscious level. I have to keep going hard. I can't stop. Sometimes I'll get distracted, you know, if I'm just sitting around. But it's smoking became a thing to me that I do as I'm being productive.
You're breaking generational curses. You know, you're really redesigning how your family's image of cannabis is, not just for you, but for family members that previously had one conception of it or one ideal of it. And now you're able to present a new model to your son. Tell us about how that journey has been.
Yeah. Shout out my son, Quincy. I love him.
Shout out, Quincy.
So that's the thing. You know, I had Quincy, and, you know, before I had Quincy, I was, you know, still going hard, figuring things out. But when I had Quincy, it really aligned sort of what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to do it for. And Quincy gives me so much inspiration and motivation behind everything I'm doing, every hustle, every outlet I'm doing. And me as a father now, I use cannabis every day. So I just want to show him more than just what I do or what I'm using, smoking, whatever it is. I want to show him that by example, look how hard daddy's going, Quincy.
Right.
Look what daddy's doing for us, for you, for him. That's what I stand for. You know, as a kid, I always looked up to people, what they were doing. As a kid, I always looked up to people and what they did. And, if they thought cannabis wasn't a good thing, then, you know, I respect you for that, but I use it and it makes me go harder. And I just want to show Quincy that, you know, whatever you do, as long as you're going hard within your means, like obviously I'm not doing
right.
Right.
If you use cannabis, just have a vision, know what you want to do.
And you're so productive with it. You're showing him all these different hats that you're wearing and how you're navigating this entire industry and killing it on the TV side, on the music side, personally. All of those visions that you have are going to transpire, and he's going to be able to see that for sure.
And speaking of
that. Tell me what you think about. Tell me what you think about people in our age. Yeah, getting their cards. Sorry, Juma.
No problem.
Getting their cannabis cards. I was going to just try to emphasize, because a lot of people in your age range, they're using cannabis, but they're not using it advocately or responsibly.
No.
And they're not, don't have their cards, and they're not medical card holders. And especially in the state of Florida, having a record of cannabis on your, you know, judicial record, that can hurt you for the rest of your career in so many different ways. And now that we have this medical program instilled in Florida, do you talk to your friends about getting their cards and being advocates and, you know, just doing it responsibly so that you're able to really make sure that you're setting yourself up for life to be able to use at the power you want to with the plant, but also with the responsibility of not making sure that you don't have any issues with the law, issues with financial, you know, funding later, governmental issues, just kind of being more of a advocate in that age range. Because I don't see as many people with that responsible decision making to get their cards in Florida. How do you speak to that?
Yeah, I see. I mean, I still have a lot of friends that, you know, they buy their cannabis in the street. You know, I know a lot of friends that just don't even know possibly where to go get their license, or they think it's too hard to get a license, or they don't know a doctor. And that's why it's so important for me, and that's why I'm really trying to lead the way amongst this generation of showing people that you could use cannabis, you could be an advocate of it, you could do it legally, you could be legally medicated. And I'm currently trying to build a lifestyle brand focused on a strain. I won't speak too much on that because I'm in the early workings of it, but I'm trying to build a lifestyle, and the lifestyle is pretty much, you know, stopping the stigma, showing people that you can be productive and smoke. Getting people in my age range legally medicated, licensed, show them where they can go. And then for big votes like this one right now, Regulate Florida and other things, get people in my age range that aren't educated on that involved. So I just want to be a leader in my demographic, not just my demographic, but in the industry of showing and being a leader and giving examples of how you can do this.
Absolutely. And clearly you're already a leader and really maximizing your platform. So are we going to see something like how Bieber got the peaches? Are you going to have your own strain, your chop shop strain? What are you doing here?
So I'm working. I'm working right now on getting my own strain. The biggest thing to me, I'm a Florida boy.
Talk about
it. I'm a Florida boy. I'm trying to build a strain and do it here in Florida, you know. And I know Florida, there's been a lot of rules, there's been a lot of regulation. It's been really hard for the cannabis industry to get pushed here and in Florida. So I want to try to partner, and I'm trying to get a strain on the market, but not just the strain, because it's not just about the product, it's about the atmosphere and the lifestyle behind it. And
the leaf style.
I'm talking to Trueleaf right now. Yeah, leaf style. So I'm talking to Trueleaf right now. I love Trueleaf's vision. I love their mission, what they're trying to do, their professionalism. And I'm talking to them right now about building a lifestyle brand and how we can work together on getting a strain and just pushing the education around the plant, pushing the regulation and showing people my age range. I looked at my insights the other day on Instagrams. It's like from 13 to like 30 and 92% women, which is amazing because there's a lot of things that I'm like, wow, that's who's watching me. Let me be a leader for them. That's who's watching me. When I was 13 and I started using cannabis, it was like, all right, I'm about to go to hell. Or I'm about to end up homeless or something, you know? And that's really how people made me feel. So I want to show that 13-year-old that is beginning to use cannabis and lost in the industry. I want to show them that there's somebody like me out there that can lead you how to do it right.
That's thriving. You know, that's actually thriving. But I want to talk about that a little bit, because I'm a parent. Doctor is a parent. Is talking about breaking generational curses. Have you thought about how you, and I know Quincy is young, but this is something I battle with.
Yeah.
Have you thought about how you're going to sort of educate your son around the plant, the understanding of the plant. Have you even thought about that?
Yeah.
Because it's something I battle with often on how presenting it to my young kids and how they deal with it as they speak to their other friends, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a huge question. That's a really good question because I don't smoke around Quincy. I he's really young. I don't want to be careless with it. You know, there's a big thing behind doing it right and being careless with it. So I'm trying to, you know, like I said, I'm in the cannabis industry. There's going to be so much that kids are so smart. They see so much. So I don't want to hide it. That's what I feel like some of my parents did with me. They sort of try to hide it and punish me for it and this and that. But I just want to lead by example, keep it away from him, not do it around him and not be careless with it. Cause he's looking up to me. He's looking up to me. And I want him to see that dad is the guy that you want to be like when you start using it. But I think as he gets older, and who knows, 10 years from now, my son's going on a year and almost a half right now. So 10 years from now, it might be like tobacco. Mm-hmm. Cannabis might be like tobacco. Who knows? But I just want to show him that, you know, if he wants to use, when he decides to do that, you know, you can talk to me about it and you see how I did it. So you don't have to sneak around and you don't have to, you know, take the route and the confusion that I took. So I've got my place in the industry.
Well said. That's so powerful because you don't even know how many parents I have, 30, 40, 50 years old, that are still closeted smokers that have their medical cannabis card and are afraid to use in front of their child, whether it's tinctures or ointments or salves or bongs or smoking or vape. Like, they're afraid to do it because they don't know how to have that conversation with their children.
Yeah.
So I applaud you. That's a huge step.
And it's awkward. But I mean, our kids are seeing the
so
same
is sex,
things we're seeing.
Right? Sex is awkward.
Yeah,
drugs
sex.
Look awkward.
Right, right.
Child trafficking is awkward. All these conversations, you know, stalking and also what do they do at school where they are battling each other, you know?
Bullying.
Bullying.
All these conversations are hard, but they're necessary. And the longer we wait to do it, the worse it is.
Yeah, your kids are already experiencing things every day and they're seeing everything we're seeing, if not more. They're seeing more
right.
because they're sometimes smarter than us in like this media and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
they're real time.
It's really big. Yeah, it's big on showing them first, leading by example and having those awkward conversations. So my kid's a year and change. So once he gets there, I still have a lot to learn. I don't want to act like I have all the poise and everything, but I have a lot to learn. I'm just trying to do it right, lead by example.
Absolutely.
That's all we
Absolutely.
Ask for. That's all we ask.
Yep. And now speaking on that is you said sort of the way your relationship started and sort of just the interest in the cannabis and being more involved and grow over time with the plant. Do you see a real distinction? How do you see the distinction between your recreational and your medicinal use? Do you see a distinction? Is it one and the same? How do you view that now?
So, I mean, for instance, I go to California a lot. I have a business in California, and that's where a lot of, like, my engineers for music are. So I go there a lot, and I see the distinct difference in industries from California to Florida. And in California, it's recreational as it can be. Mm. You know, you could go in the store. You could get all the packaging with all the cookies and everything on it and go right outside the store and smoke a blunt in front of the police station if you wanted to. You know, not saying that's wise or smart to do, but that's how California is. You know, over here it's medicinal, and the thing about medicinal is, you know, when you go in the dispensary, you know, the plant or the whatever you're picking up, if you're picking up a eighth of this or if you're getting a tincture, whatever you're getting, you know it's legit. You know it's something that's going to be actually the strain it says it's going to be. It's going to be grown fantastic, and you're getting what you pay for. But like I said, I think we're not at a place recreationally in Florida yet where people are, I guess, motivated enough to go get the license to buy legal cannabis, or motivated enough to go to the dispensary. You know, some people are still black market. Mm-hmm. And me personally, I've used recreational, I've used medicinal, and I mean, I like where Florida, because bias, I'm a Florida boy, but I want to see it go sort of where California's at or go to that area, and I want to be a leader in it.
Right.
You are. You definitely are. And with the way the market looks right now, with cannabis being laced with ketamine and fentanyl and, you know, all different kind of additives to it, it's only proper to do it medicinally if you're in a state that allows you to do that, because there's so many ways that it can go left. And those recovery from using those products are completely different, you know?
Exactly.
I see it in the ER, so it's really crazy.
That's insane. What is going on? There's people lacing marijuana with fentanyl, and that's scary to me.
It should
be. Why, you know, anyone out there listening or anyone that I can impact, I just go get licensed, go to the dispensary, you know, reach out to me, reach out to Juma, Dr. Lynn, anyone, you know, it doesn't make sense to put yourself at risk like that, you know, when it's not that hard to go do it right. Like I said, I've done the black market, I've done the medicinal, done all that, you know, but it's a matter of just doing it right. Where it's going with it, why not get it now?
Right.
And still, there's things that you get in trouble still. You could still get in trouble if you're rolling around with, like, marijuana that's not from the dispensary. You still get in trouble. That's still not fun. You're still going to have to go spend money on lawyers. Still going to have to go to court.
It's still illegal in the state of Florida. It's decriminalized in a lot of cases, but it's still illegal. So we always got to remember that. Are you a flowers? Are you strictly flowers? How do you consume primarily?
I love flowers. So, I mean, I think that's the way the plant has grown. I'm a nerd with the flowers, man. I love looking at them. I love smelling them and distinguishing the different characteristics between two plants, like indica or sativa or different flavors. I love flower. But don't get it wrong. I have a Puffco Peak. I love some of the, like, live resin that True Leaf sells. And I've had edibles, and I've had all sorts of different things, but I love flower. I'm a big indica guy as well.
So I know you're working on a potential strain. Tell us what that your ideal strain would be. How would it best serve your needs? What would it do?
So to me, there's two things to it, you know. As far as just the strain, if we're talking about just the flower, I really want the flower to be a lot of strains I see are true to one thing. You know, if it's OG, it's true to OG. If it's true to a sativa, it's true to sativa, or that's that. A big strain that I love is like the candies, the gelatos, the Skittles, the really tasty ones that smell like candy, like really smell like candy.
Right.
And I want to push something like that in the market, but the atmosphere behind it, I want to push the stopping the stigma. I want to push the getting people licensed. I want to push just keeping people out of trouble. I want to push all those things behind it. So it's more than just the strain to me. It's a lifestyle. But the strain, those are my favorite strains. I love gelato. You know, I really want my strain to be soup, something like candy. Like, you want to just eat it. You know?
So you're involved from the stem to the production to the packaging to the finally making it on the shelf process. You're involved in every step of the vertical integration process with this, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, as much as I could be involved, I want to be involved, you know, because to me, like I said, it's a passion. It's not just for profits.
Right.
It's not just to get a product or get another business. To me, marijuana is a passion to me. I would like to be there throughout the whole process, growing it, naming it, crossbreeding it, packaging it, putting it. I would love to do all that, you know, because that's how I think it is better to be involved all the way along the process. That's like with the music. I like being involved all the way from the production all the way into the release of it. So that way you can really say I put my all into it, and that's mine. It's not somebody else's thing. That's mine. That's everything I like. You know?
And speaking on that, we can hear about your passion about the plant. Talk to us a little bit about your work and your advocacy work with Last Prisoner Project. and why that is so important to you.
Mm-hmm. First of all, shout out Last Prisoner Project. As I got more followers, as I became a more prominent person just in my city, with a platform, and people really look at me, and I'm watched, you know, and it became a big thing for me to involve myself with people and companies and organizations, nonprofits, that their vision is in line with my vision. And Last Prisoner Project was something I've always seen through True Leaf, through Sunshine Cannabis would be involved with them. I would see a lot of people that I look up to reach out to them and be involved with them. And when I reached out to Last Prisoner Project, I reached out to them and I was like, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. I wonder what my platform, how can I help? And they pretty much told me their whole platform, what they're doing. And that means so much to me because the Last Prisoner Project stands for getting people with cannabis crimes out of prison or rebuilding their life after people have got out of prison or people involved with just cannabis crimes. And you'll go to a dispensary and then you'll pass the dispensary and then not too far down the road will be like a jail or a prison. And it's like, you know, there's people sitting in this jail or this prison right now for, you know, selling marijuana, but right up the block is a dispensary. And as much as I can use my platform to bring shed light to someone's story or help someone rebuild themselves, I'm all about that, you know, because I mean, I can understand what it's like. And someone just having to start over, I'd like to be the guy to help them out with that.
You're obviously right. Super passionate about it. The fact that you reached out to them, most people in your position, over 300,000 followers on Instagram and other social media platforms, they wait for those companies to come to you, you know, especially with everything you're doing. You reached out, you took the first step, you made the initiative, you followed through. That's the kind of advocacy work we love to see happening.
Exactly. Huge to me, you know. Last Prisoner Project, they're doing so much good things down there that if I could make a post, if I could do a story, if I could reshare something that would bring that much more eyeballs to someone's story, that's not too much work for me to do. I'm down to do more work to try to help somebody out, you know. And that is a huge part of my brand and what I'm trying to do right now. And there's another one called Minorities for Medical Marijuana.
Absolutely.
They're
friends of Leafstyle for sure.
Look at that. They're cool. And I reached out to them. We're working on getting a brand ambassador deal right now. But another thing, you know, they hit me with some statistics and I was like, wow, you know, African-Americans are like 8 times more likely to get arrested for marijuana than someone that was white or something. I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know, so I'm educating myself by just trying to reach out to these companies because, you know, I can never learn enough. I could never know enough. So I just want to educate myself and place myself and leverage our relationship.
Brandon, I have to salute you. I mean, as a young man,
seriously,
you are way above the curve. Like, I really appreciate you just
honestly.
Sharing the story. Yeah.
Thank you.
Your passion comes through, your dedication, your advocacy. I really, you're changing the narrative on Reality Stars, right?
Seriously. Yeah. You know, if I have a platform, if I can do anything, I want to do something good. You know, right. I can go as far as, you know, y'all want to let me go, but I want to involve everyone and help build other people up. That's big to me. You know, it's not all just about me. It's not all about profit or just me.
But that's great because some people talk it, but you're clearly walking it as well. So again, salute you. And again, we like to finish. We like to wrap up with our question this season. What does Free the Culture mean to you?
Free the Culture. Free the Culture to me means, you know, a lot of the culture that, you know, people are sitting in jail for right now. A lot of the culture that people, you know, haven't been noticed for, haven't been credited for in this industry, at least in, there's a lot more that they could stand for, but in this industry, there's so much stuff going on right now. So much dispensaries popping up. There's so much big companies taking over, and they're doing it all based on stuff that we built, stuff that people 30, 40 years ago have built up and are serving life sentences for right now, or, you know, pushed out or told that this is not something that will ever happen. Stigma. And I think free the culture is just, you know, free the culture. Let the real out, you know,
let the real out.
Let's let the small guys win too. Let us all go up.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dr. Lynn, any last questions here?
Brandon, hit it. Honestly, you're such an exceptional young man. Like, seriously, if everyone could just take just a portion of what you're trying to do beyond yourself and your sense of community, that would just make all the difference in how people operate in this world, you know, because everything that we do is not just to touch other people, but we want to make sure that we're leaving a lasting impact and a legacy, especially now that you have a son to look up to. You want to make sure that your legacy is branded and initialed and cemented in everything that you're doing. And we could see that. We look forward to following your journey. Mm-hmm. Personally, if we can help you in any way possible, please let us know.
Yeah, you guys keep doing what you're doing. That helps me out all the way. And I appreciate you having me here today. Looking forward to what the future holds for us.
Thank you. And
what's next for you? What's the next step?
Yeah, let's talk to Chop Shop.
Yeah, Chop Shop is out. What's next? Yeah.
What's next is, so I just dropped Chop Shop. The video is out too right now. What's next is, you know, I'm currently trying to learn how to produce music. I've always rapped. I could all sung. But I'm trying to learn how to produce music right now and indulge more in the music. You know, I told myself, like, I made it to the NBA. I don't want to just have a shot.
Right.
I want to be able to drive, and I want to be able to play defense too, you know? So I don't want to just be in music, just knowing how to rap. I want to know how to produce, maybe play an instrument. And what's next is I'm thinking an album or a tape, you know, to, you know, give somebody a solid body of work to go off. And, man, there's so much up next. But right now, like, right over there is my laptop or my keyboard. And I'm just learning how to produce right now. And what's next? A whole lot.
All right.
We love it.
And we believe you. Yo, was that Chop Shop? Was that filmed in Cali?
Chop Shop was filmed in Cali at a so there was this mechanic shop that was like COVID-19 mm-hmm. made it take a big loss, like business. So they repurposed it for just location shoots. But it was like an old vintage mechanic shop, and we found that. And we shot the video in there. Yeah, we shot it in L.A. I linked up with my boy Skate, who is with Taylor Gang and Wiz Khalifa's label. And we sort of just made that connection real organic, real natural, just like everything else. I'm super big on things happen naturally, organically. And we sort of just made that connection, did the song. I love the song. The song's super chill. It has a good vibe if you're smoking or chilling, just riding around. And that was sort of how we did it. And I'm just big on making good music. I want to do good music, you know, and go far. And that's what's next, learning how to get better at my craft.
Thank you for a great show.
Yep.
Leaf Style, intersection of education, culture, and cannabis. No longer a subculture, a Leaf Style. Good show. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you so much,
Juma and Dr. Lynn. Appreciate the both of you guys so much.
Appreciate you.
Talk to you soon.
Peace. Thank you.